Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness related. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word. Riveting. It tears my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.
Luka Petkovic. I just want to make sure I'm saying right. Is that correct?
That's right. Good pronunciation.
Thanks, man. I'm big on that.
Awesome.
Men's health coach, man. Could you tell me a little bit about that? What your experience been like?
Absolutely. Experience has been great. Helping men with their life, their health, their mindset. Everything's interconnected, right? Yeah. Good mind. You got a great mind, then you got a great body. You got a great mind and body, you usually have a great life, great relationships with those around you.
Yeah.
And just helping men level up. This is why I'm late. I just had a meeting with a friend I was helping. I was grabbing a morning coffee with him. But yeah, got into it from my own personal journey.
Yeah.
Like any good coach, usually it starts with yourself.
Yeah.
So it started with me about almost a year and a half ago now. Wanted to change my life, the way I look, feel, did that. And then I just wanted to help others level up. So I got into this, started my business. It's been good. And just growing it now. Now just trying to help as many people as possible. So
that's good, man. It sounds like you found your mission in life, even if it's just a personal one, like that's something that you think is your part.
Absolutely. I mean, I love it. It doesn't even feel like work. I mean, this is something I could do 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I never get sick of it.
That's a beautiful thing, man. You know, that's rare to hear these days, you know.
Of course. I know. Most people hate what they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just, I have something I'm just going to read, and then we'll get back to conversing about things.
Let's do it.
It says, the moon sings in the dark, while the sun carries echoes of the past with one bark. Nothing new to the earth, thus I've seen it time and time again, though I transcend with eminence like the thickest of scents. Telling of the world I have never seen, predicting the world I have never been, throwing deeds to fruition, now I see there lives my mission. To keep going, thus never passive, proactive and never passive. Throwing gaze at the roads, thus my compass is never silent. I'm never climbing like a rocky pin. I'm ever climbing like a rocky pin, hailing with precision until my mission goes missing. Just something for the audience. And usually, you know, it's almost like an indicator of, you know, where we're going to take the conversation. As you mentioned, you know, it's just reading about your bio as well, I could tell this is something that is your path and something that you take very serious and you're very passionate about it.
Apologize for the beeping and everything. I will be settled in front of my webcam and camera here in about 100 minutes, so and we can really get into everything.
No worries.
For the audience. I know they're like, what the heck? So, my apologies.
No worries.
It's been a busy morning.
I can imagine, man. I can imagine.
But, yeah. Give me about a 1 minute. And then I will be all good to go. Sound fair?
Yeah, all good. Yes, I think Luca is just having a few technical issues. He's just on his way indoors where we can be settled and have a conversation. But again, to what he's speaking to, I think, you know, it kind of goes back to things that I hold dear myself, and I think to an extent, as you get to a certain path, it speaks to the commonality that I experience just speaking to different people. And you know, what they have going on in life and what they want for themselves and other people. It's just that mission, that growing mission that we always, as human beings, I suppose it's fair to say it's a part of the human experience to want to give back, to find something that belongs, but also something that people resonate with in terms of your purpose, your growth, and where you are and where you're looking to go. And not only that, but the opportunity to bring people along with you. I think that's something important. Maybe not not so much just as an but as an individual by itself, but also it's a cultural thing. It's part of the human experience to want that for yourself as well as other people. Whether you know that's for men and like or for women or just human beings, you know, I think that's something that's important. Something that's important for who we are. And getting that sense of fulfillment. In regards to that, fulfillment in itself, that's another big thing.
I'm here, brother. Sorry about that. I'm all set.
No worries. I was just kind of just speaking on, elaborating on some of the stuff we touched on already.
100%.
I also, you mentioned that you used to be an athlete.
Yeah. So it's funny that you asked that. So I played basketball in college and throughout my whole life. I think that's where my competitive nature comes from. And I was just talking to my friend who was also a high level hockey player.
Yeah.
And one of the things we see as a common pattern is the fact that a lot of guys, they play sports and they have that external, whether you call it accountability, to go to practice, their coaches, their team, to be in top tip, you know, physical shape, have a routine and habit, and they stop playing and they get into that 9-to-5 life and there is no more external accountability. And what happens?
They
gain weight, they balloon up. And that's what happened to me personally. And that's why I kind of went down this journey. And a lot of people that I know that were high level athletes in college are now, you know, 20, 30 pounds heavier because they don't have practice 5 days a week anymore. They don't have a game the weekend, right? So
it's funny you say that because my next question was, how important is discipline at this stage of your life?
Discipline is everything. I think that word is sometimes used, you know, too much in a buzzword, but honestly, discipline is everything. Because you have, in my world, the simplest definition of the word discipline. Yeah. And it's not about just tracking calories. It's the discipline to get other things done in your life. Whether that's whatever you want to do, discipline is not one thing where, and I see this missed a lot, where someone might be disciplined on their nutrition or their fitness, when it comes to showing up to meetings on time with friends or getting business projects done or getting things done in a timely manner they're lacking. Well, then you're not really a disciplined person. You just have one thing that has a top priority and the rest of your life, you just kind of push it over here.
Discipline.
So that level of discipline should apply to everything. Who you're meeting, when you're showing the meeting times, it's very important, right? So.
Yes, I think, there is a sense of freedom to discipline if you do it right, I think.
There's such a sense of freedom.
It's such a sense of freedom, and it just gives you, you're able to kind of relax and just be free. I think that's the relaxation that comes with it. the rites of passage just to understand what it's about and just to kind of condition yourself. But once you're conditioned, then it becomes autonomous. And so you don't have to think about it. It just happens, you know?
100%.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think what you're saying is great because, you know, anyone that tells you that the battle stops, the internal voice in the battle, it never stops. It's a lifelong process. No. There will be days where you wake up and you don't want to do anything. You don't want to go train. You don't want to do that meeting. You just want, hey, you know what, tonight it would be nice for me to lay and watch Netflix and order a bunch of food and sit here. That's great. But then you got to snap out of that thought process and you got to move forward and do what you have planned for that day. It's a constant battle. And the more battles that you win, the easier the next one gets and the next one gets and the next one gets. So.
That's pretty much what it is in my eyes as well. What does a leadership mean to you?
For me, I'm really big on leading by example. Any one of my clients, any one of my friends that I'm coaching, I'm helping out, I will always lead by example. I just truly believe in that standard. So for me, I'm never going to tell people to do things I don't do. Training hard, eating well, you know, having good routines, habits, being disciplined. They see it from me. I feel like that's why they're inspired to go. And I just am a big, big person at practicing what you preach. I feel like that's really good leadership. I also feel like another great piece of leadership, which I actually learned from Tom Brady, one of my favorite athletes. I went to watch him at the Vault conference, the Patrick and David conference in the summertime. And he said, you know, leadership has many forms and a great leader knows how to adapt those forms to who he's working with.
Yes.
The example he gave was, you know, for a player like Julian Edelman, who's an American football player, he would fire him up by telling him negative things. Hey, I heard you, they said you suck, you're small, you're weak. Like, oh, really? Okay. That was one level of leadership to fire him up. Another guy wouldn't respond that good to that. He'd be like, hey, what's going on, man? Are you doing okay? Oh, I'm struggling. What's going on? You got this. And then there's different levels of leadership to who you're working with. So I think a really, really good leader understands that you can't speak to everybody the same way.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is you need to find the best way to speaking to that person to get the most out of them. Because at the end of the day, what you need to do as a leader is you need to inspire somebody to take change and to make a change and take action. So how do you get them to that point where they're saying, okay, I'm going to take action. I'm going to go forward. That's a dance that you have to understand who you're working with. So,
To the point you just made, it's almost a sense of give and take, isn't it? You know, you give some so you can take some, you take some so you can give some.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting thing. I suppose it's a combination of the two things we've mentioned where discipline is next to leadership, but it's all different facets of a culture that you create. And you know, as being a leader especially, it's like you have your own identity, and it's like an umbrella where underneath your identity there goes the culture. And you know, to speak into, you know, leadership, as you said, because I did kind of see a little bit of the video that you're referring to with Tom Brady, Patrick on the platform. Definitely resonated with me. Man. I was just there sitting down. I was just like, man, he was dropping so many gems in there. You know, it's just like, it was great to listen to.
You know, it's crazy to see. Whether it's, you know, people that inspire me in my life, you know, Tom Brady, David Goggins, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, great athletes and people in their own, you know, they all say the same thing. Andrew Tate, you know, I like Top G too. Like everyone says the same thing with their own spin on it. But at the end of the day, the formula is very simple. You have to take action and you have to do that over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And you have to build that into your fiber as a person.
Yeah.
I always tell people this, the number one mistake you can make if you want to get into elite shape, want to feel good, have a lot of energy, the number one mistake you can make is not identify as that person. So if you're not used to counting calories, if you're not used to training hard, don't do this. Don't do something where you don't feel like it's part of who you are.
Yes.
Because what you're going to do is you're going to do it for a short period of time or even a couple of months, and you might get some results, but then you'll fall off the wagon. Hence, if you look up The Biggest Loser and, you know, the percentage of people that lose weight on a diet and gain it all back, what's missing there? Why is someone, hey, I diet, I lose 20 pounds and then I gain it back? What's missing? That was one of the reasons I started my business, is because I always thought that there was that missing piece in the fitness world, in the influencer world, where it was there was no mindset. Because I was someone who spent a lot of money on programs and I was working out, but I wasn't getting the results I wanted.
Yeah.
And my problem was not the physical exercise. I liked physical exercise, but it was everything else. The decisions I was making on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. And that was the missing piece. And I felt like the worlds of, you know, mindset coaching, helping people actually build self-serving habits and self-serving beliefs, and then pair that in with training, then you get the optimal results, and then it's easy to make a change.
Absolutely.
And that's the biggest thing. If you are doing something and it's not a part of who you are, or, you know, it doesn't become a part of who you are, you will always go back to your old tendencies and habits. So I tell my clients all the time, we're not here just to get you in great shape. We're here to make a new person. We're here to upgrade this. You upgrade this, it follows. The body will follow. Your confidence will follow. Your energy levels will follow. But you got to upgrade this. Don't do things just because I tell you to do them.
Yep.
That's the first day I worked with a client, I said, why are we here? And they said, well, we're here because I want to lose weight. That's so surface level. Oh, I want to add muscle. Yeah. That's so surface level. How is adding muscle, losing weight going to help you in your life? Then you break it down. I want more confidence. I want more energy. I want to be there for my family. I want to find my future wife. I want to be able to step into any room and hold a conversation with someone and not be insecure.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. So we got to get to that level. We got to make that person. And that's going to take time. That's going to be, you know, stacking bricks, stacking rocks, right? So, you know, that's really a big thing. I think the other big mistake that people make, man, is that we live in a society now where everything is instantaneous, whether that's the likes on your social media, ordering Amazon Prime, it comes in one day, ordering food on food delivery apps, it should be there in 20 minutes. Imagine if you ordered food on delivery app and it took 2 hours, you'd be like losing your head. What the hell is going on? What kind of service is this, right? But think about what's left in society that takes long. Learning skills, getting in elite shape, changing your mind. These are processes that don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Just get a little bit better every day, and there's no rushing it. And a lot of people want to reach things, whether that's taking drugs to lose weight or some miracle this or do this or that. There's no rushing it. You just have to take your time and love the process. And if you don't love the process and you don't truly enjoy the process, then you're never going to get the outcome, because you're always looking for the end. There is no end.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. What's one of the most important lessons you've learned from being an athlete that you think is important to share?
One of the things I've learned is that competitive drive is something that can serve you in so many aspects of your life. And there's two types of competition. Obviously, there's the external competition and the internal competition.
Yeah.
And the internal competition to be a better athlete, you know, I want to be better. I want to hit a PR in the gym. I want to run a mile faster. I want to get, quicker, more agile. The pursuit of those things, if you translate that to a personal life, is going to help you so much. I want to be a better businessman. I want to be a better doctor. I want to be a better lawyer. That's why I tell people, whatever you do for a living, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, you work in sales, whatever, you're a teacher, pursue your best. always. Always pursue for you to be the top performer of what you're doing. And that comes from an internal competitive drive, but also an external competitive drive. Let me see what all the other lawyers are doing in my office. What are all the other doctors in my hospital doing? What are all the other salespeople doing here? Okay, how can I get better than them?
Yeah.
And that drive is going to help you. And, you know, you have to be perspicacious. You have to look at what other people are doing. How are they performing? How are they acting? Do I want to be like them? Or do I want to be better than them? Right? And I feel like now there's a lot of people in, like, people don't have that competitiveness anymore. People think it's been so, take it easy. Yeah, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Win.
Be it's almost best. Like certain people, they see it as a negative, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many times I've been told, you're too competitive. You're too intense. I said, great. And you're too soft. And you're too weak. That's fine. Yeah. Who cares?
And, you know, just the whole criticism factor as well. Yeah, it's frowned upon, but sometimes I think it's necessary sometimes.
Of course. I think that raw accountability, what Goggins says, is something that, why are you getting angry at some? I never criticize people or call them names. I don't like to spew negative energy on people, but I will always be honest with somebody.
Mm.
If someone's being lazy, if someone's not having integrity, they're lying, they're not holding themselves accountable, I'm not going to sit there and say, great, all your self-sabotage you did this last week is awesome.
Yeah.
And I've got into arguments and I've got into almost fights with close friends because I tried to get them better. They said, you're always holding me accountable. I said, you said you were going to do this. Or you made plans with me and that you wanted to change last minute. I'm not about that. You said this, I'm going to hold you accountable to those words. Man, you're so hard to be like that. Oh, it's not a standard. If this was the medieval times 300 years ago, your word was your bond as a man. You break that word, you are shamed in a community. But now, breaking your word means nothing, right?
Right.
It's just whatever. Mm. So I will always hold people accountable, you know? People say, hey, I'm a little overweight. No, you're fat. You're fat. Right. And I'm not saying that to insult you. I'm saying that to be honest with you. You are fat. We need to be raw. We need to stop sticks and stones will break my bones. Words will never hurt me. We need to stop sugarcoating everything and telling people, you know, maybe your metabolism is a little bit slow. No, you are fat.
Yeah.
And I will help you. But we need to address the problem in bluntness so we can get better. Oh, I'm not that bad, right? Because people, honestly, they know. You know, here's the biggest thing. People know where they lack, or they know
they do, yeah.
They just don't want to be honest with themselves, so they don't want to tell themselves the truth. They want to kind of, you know, tiptoe around the bush. Maybe I'm a little bit like this, or maybe I could go a little bit better. You can get a lot better.
Do you think that hard. Do you think that mentality to just, like, for some of the facets of telling it like it is, just being honest with people and just seeing what you see and saying it as that, do you think it's a small population type of thing? Is it part of the human psyche naturally, or it's just because of the culture we live in right now, where people don't really perpetuate certain things that actually elevate them?
Yeah, I think definitely cultures have shifted. Now it's all about being softer and nicer. And, you know, you can be soft and you can be nice, but you have to be honest. So, you know, I don't just yell at someone and try and degrade them. That's not going to help them either, because what's going to happen is they'll become defensive. They feel like you're attacking them. You open up to them and say, man, I'm going to tell you something. It's to help you. I want to see you get better. I want to see you live your life at your potential and have more energy for your kids, for your wife. I want to see you as the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
But for me to help you get there, I got to be honest with you. So what I'm going to say to you now, it's not to offend you. It's not to hurt your feelings. It's not to hurt your ego.
Yeah.
It's to tell you the honest truth so we can actually take progress and move forward. And it's all how you frame it. And then they say, okay, you're trying to help me.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you tell them the raw truth.
You're actually.
Right? The raw truth. You know, No one gained weight. No one got in a bad habit overnight. Some people have very bad living habits. They've been conditioned a certain way. They've done that over time, which has led them to either gain weight or have low energy or be mentally in a fragile state. How do we get there? And what happened in your life? Let's break it all down. And let's rebuild from the start. But that always starts with an honest conversation.
To what you just said, like, everything takes effort, even to the fact of somebody being lazy. It had to start somewhere. To even somebody being overweight or obese, like, to even maintain a level, a weight of obesity, that's an effort in itself. You know, to eat that much calories to get to that size, man, that's like a, you literally, you might as well just get yourself, you might as well become an athlete or get another 9 to 5. That's a lot of effort to, you know what I mean, to eat so much where you get to this size. So why not, you mentioned something earlier on, habits. I think it starts with habits. You either make your habits work for you or you let them work against you. You allow them to work against you. You know, it comes back to choices, really.
Of course, your free will, right? God gave you free will. You know, when it comes to habits, we have to break down the mindset of a habit. A habit is formed through doing it repetitively. So that's a motor pattern in your brain. You know, for example, a very simple one. People turn on Netflix and they have a snack. Now, what is that snack? Usually, let's say someone's overweight, that snack might be like chips, popcorn, dessert, or whatever. They didn't magically just have that one time. They've done that over and over and over again to the point where their brain is connected to that. Netflix comes on, I have chips, or I have whatever, this, that, you know, maybe a low energy food. Why don't they have an apple? Why don't they have a fruit bowl? Why aren't they slicing up, I don't know, chicken breast? Because there's no motor pattern in that connection.
There's no connection, yeah.
It's really talking about the mindset. If someone's overweight, how is your relationship with food? What are the decisions you're making and why are you making those decisions? Most people know what they're supposed to do. Most people know when they eat something that's high in calories and makes them feel like, you know, a piece of crap after they eat it. They know they're not supposed to be eating it. But there's a reason they are eating it. And we need to break that down, why they think about this a certain way or what their limiting beliefs are, so they can start to make a change. And change takes time. If you walk 0 steps a day or 500 steps a day, then walk 1,000 next week. Well, it sounds like 1,000 steps a day is nothing. It doesn't matter. Stop comparing yourself. That's another mistake people stop. People tell me all the time, I invite guys here for free runs and workouts on Saturday mornings. 6 p.m. I said, I'm going to this location. I'm going to run 10, 15, 20K. Who wants to join? I have so many guys that message me, I'm not at your level. I'm not at your level. I don't want to come. I'm not at your level. That's your insecurity speaking. You're not supposed to be at my level. Half the time I run, I go on my own.
Yeah.
You the route, meet me at point A. We start at point A, we meet at point B. I'll wait for you. It's not about me. It's about you getting better. It's about you pushing yourself. So if you're doing 500 steps a day, next week you do 1,000, that's awesome. You've just elevated. You are 500 steps better. And next week do 1,200, 1,500. And eventually, if you do that, you'll be 10,000 steps a day or 20,000, whatever your goal is, you'll get there. But level up slowly. Going back to it, it's brick by brick, level by level. So,
absolutely, man. Absolutely. And so now, from being an athlete, I think you're in the corporate world now.
Yeah, work in the corporate world, do sales, sales and finance online. Been doing that for about 1.5 years now. And corporate world is, I've been in the corporate world for a while, you know, since probably the last 5, 6 years. That's kind of when I ballooned up and then realized I needed to make a change, a serious change. And, you know, I was always a motivated guy. I watched you motivation videos, but you know, it wasn't enough. The discipline wasn't there. The habits weren't there. The routine wasn't there. The mindset really wasn't there. like, yeah, I'd get fired up for a workout, and then 2 days later, I'll go back to the self-sabotaging behaviors that got me there. So, the corporate world is a slippery slope, because I hear it all the time. I don't have time. I don't have time. You have time.
Yeah.
You do have time.
What the question I wanted to ask you is, what do you think, how would you differentiate the two worlds, the corporate from being an athlete?
How would I differentiate them? Well, corporate world, number one, a lot of sitting. you're not being very mobile. It really depends on what your job is. I mean, in the athletic world, there's always competition. You're always working towards a competitive game or battle with somebody, right? So like, here we go, I practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we play on Friday. So you're preparing for something always.
Yeah.
Sometimes the corporate world is like, there's no preparation for anything. There's no practice. It's like, oh, I just do the same mundane tasks every single day, 5 days a week, get my paycheck, do it again. And when you're not striving or preparing for some opponent or for some goal, then everything can kind of, you take your foot off the gas pedal, you kind of show up, you half-ass everything. So I would say, if you put yourself in a corporate environment, set out a goal, whether that's a sales target goal, whether that's growing a business or expanding a certain sector of the business, whatever your job is, sit down and say, how can I actually get some metrics?
Yeah.
Okay, what did I do last quarter? What did I do last month? Can I get better? That's one thing I do like about sales, is that, what did I sell last month? I sold this to some clients I got. Okay, great. Let's get better. You have metrics to get better. So I feel like sales is very easy if you have a competitive mindset as an athlete to get into. Other jobs, though, that are not sales-based, how can you get better? What's an actual measurable metric? Because as an athlete, you got your wins and losses, whether it's a team sport, individual sport. Where's your metric? Where's your points per game? What is your stats? You have so many metrics to get better. I averaged 12 points last season. Let me average 16, 18. But what about you as an employee? What are your metrics?
Yeah.
Well, get that data first. You know, what's measured is managed. Get the data, get better.
Do you believe men have a platform and are being heard?
I don't think men have a, no, I don't think, I feel like there's a lot of great people that speak for men, but I don't feel like there's like a, maybe like a one platform where men go to.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, influencers and stuff have started their own platforms in schools, which I think is great. But not necessarily. I think there's people out there that are the voice for the masculine, and I like what they're doing, and I think it's really good. But, you know, I don't think there's necessarily, I don't think they're being heard a lot either, because someone saying something is not helping you in your internal life, right?
Yeah.
To be heard by the people in your community and the problems that you're going through. You can speak up. Now, do they listen? That's another thing, is that for someone to listen to when you speak, they have to respect you. Sure. And respect is earned, not given. So how do you earn the respect of your fellow colleagues or your community members or your teammates or your loved ones? You have to be exceptional as a man. That is why Andrew Tate and Dawkins and these people talk about, you have to be exceptional. You have to be the best version of yourself, because you cannot, if you can't step in a room and demand respect from other people, there is a reason when you speak, they roll their eyes. Mm-hmm. Instead of listening and be like, holy crap, what is he saying? I gotta listen to what he's saying. Because they know you're not here to play, you're serious. So I hope that kind of answers your question. You only get heard if you have the respect that you need to get heard from your fellow members. So I think there's great places online where men can congregate. But at the end of the day, everyone lives in a different geographic location, has a different community, a different network. You have to go out into your network and now be heard and be respected. And you have to earn that respect.
Yeah, I think there's so much value to what men bring to the table. If only just our perspective. So to not have a platform to almost echo or kind of put out the perception or the opinion or the views of that population, I think there's a certain disjustice being done. And I think it's very important that we find ways to keep getting out that voice, because I think they're both needed. It's very important. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah.
But I thank you for it. We don't have much more time, but I thank you for coming through and giving me some of your time, and I appreciate that what you've expressed, your opinion. Did you have anything you wanted to kind of speak on before we go?
Yeah, just for everybody listening or who watches this, remember that at the end of the day, you have free will and you have to make the choices to get better. It's not enough to listen to me or read a self-help book or watch motivational videos. That will fire you up for a day, maybe even a week. But it, you know, when you wake up every morning, whether you're religious or not, I am, God gave me an opportunity to open my eyes and attack this day. What decisions am I making to get the best out of my day? Am I sleeping in? Am I not eating right? If I'm not getting my business done, do I have a set of goals? You make a decision every single day. So the more decisions that you can make in your favor, and you do that over a long period of time, you will see the benefits of that. It might not happen quickly. It might not happen even 2-3 months down the road. But believe me, if you continue to do this, you will see a fundamental change in who you are, the way you view life, and you will reap the rewards of those decisions.
Beautiful, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
As I said, I appreciate everything you had to say, man. Thanks for giving me some of your time.
Thank you.
And, we'll keep in touch. And
absolutely.
Thank you.
You too, bro. God bless. Bye-bye.
Take care, Luca. Bye-bye.
Mind over matter. Overcompensating. Overstatements. Crookedness related. The soul's churn in return. Mental overstimulation. One word. Riveting. It tethers my pilot. Streams that are promised to make seeking less.